Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker. I'm with Small Biz Coaching and Consulting. I'm a small business coach and I work with all size businesses, not just small. If you got business, I can make it better. Today our guest is Lauren Weissman. He's been on in marketing for a decade and left the music business because he needed to find real ways of helping businesses. And we're going to have a really interesting conversation today with Lauren Weissman. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori. I appreciate it.
Now, one of the things that a lot of people, specifically what we're going to be talking about today, has to do with social media. And everybody, I just was watching Big Bang Theory the other day, and one of the characters was so excited about the fact that he had 100 followers. Followers, likes, retweets, things like that, those are all things that people look for when they're using social media. Why is that not the best way to use social media?
We're still in a new world with what social media is going on, and we've been misled in certain ways that a like doesn't have a dollar value if the conversion isn't there. And a view or a friend, are they really a friend? And for anybody listening and yourself, you know, when you go through a Facebook feed, are you reading absolutely every single post? And you're probably not. I don't know that many people that have all that time. And so when there's this focus that when I put something out to the world, everyone's seeing it, or I see a like, and that's all I need to focus on, it puts people in a dangerous situation for their marketing and their conversions to actual sales or actual networking that can help them. I see all too often, and I'm sure you see this all the time too, these people that are so thrilled with what they call their engagement when it's actually just someone clicking that they like and then running away and never converting, never conversing, never actually engaging with that person's service or product.
And that's part of the problem. I've had discussions with other marketing, social media, specifically people in the past, that really social media is not just I'm going to throw it up there and walk away. Social media is called that for a reason. It's social. You've got to engage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the sense of talking at or talking down to someone is a common thread that's happening. People are so excited, and I don't want to take away from the excitement of someone marketing their dream business or their dream service or themselves and something they've created that is their dream. But when they talk down to someone, it only allows that person to potentially look up. When they talk at someone, it doesn't create a conversation. And because of this over-dominant approach, it's pushing people away. And even if you have all the best intentions in the world, by practicing this pushy, non-communicative, non-engaging form of pushing online, you're doing exactly that. You're pushing people, except you're pushing them away.
What kind of, can you give us an example of some of the things that you've seen that are bad practices that people do?
Some of the worst practices come to the passive-aggressive side of things, where you see that post where somebody says, I bet no one will like this. Or they state, I have 400 followers. If just each of you would buy this, then we'd be good. Or how come people aren't commenting? And a lot of times they push this outward when really it comes down to them. They're not creating something that's comment worthy. They haven't created a conversation. Or they find themselves constantly promoting and pushing and selling without thinking about the phrase that it is. It's social media. And so, yeah, I think the passive-aggressive thing is awful. I think the making yourself overly larger than life is a dangerous way. There is a thing about confidence. There's a thing about assertiveness. But when it crosses that line, it becomes, you know, it pushes people away. So I would say those would be the top two things that I really advise people to push away from and change out with a more humble approach. Or what I always say is talk to your three audiences. And those being the people that know you, that are on every day, that might see you every single day, the people that are familiar with you, audience number two, they haven't crossed over, they haven't converted, and the people that have no idea who you are. If you can create posts and create headlines that respect the people that are already following you, draw in a little interest to the people that are familiar but haven't crossed over, while at the same time introducing yourself to someone that has no idea who you are, you are practicing the best approaches of social media today.
What are some of the things that people can look at as opposed to, in except for likes and followers and whatnot, what are some of the numbers that people can look at? Would that be not retweets but lists, how many lists you're on and things like that? Would that be an appropriate gauge?
I really kind of stay away from all of those numbers. It's just I see certain people that are on hundreds of lists, and even some of those people, they've bought their way onto lists. They've bought their followers. They've bought their viewers. I oftentimes take a look at somebody's website Alexa ranking, or I look a little bit more into saying, okay, where are they coming up in these searches? I mean, you have some of these world-class, insane life coaches that step in the way of the messages that people can learn from. I mean, Lori, for you and your website and the information that you put out, you mix motivation with inspiration. And I try to do the same. And yet, I think, and I hope I'm not speaking for you, but I think both of us run into these life coach types that are motivation with no information. It's only hype. They have hundreds of thousands of followers, and people see, oh, it's hundreds of thousands of followers. What they are saying must be true. But at the same time, fictional characters, fictional books have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers. So I guess long answer, it's not a great way to gauge. I think it's much more about constantly creating engaging content and then looking at the actual numbers of what did you do last month? What spiked up where you might have seen a whole bunch of people add you or a whole bunch of people like you, but then what went into your bank account from that? That's a greater, more realistic
right.
gauge to me.
And then also, I mean, you've got, aside from those that are only inspiration and platitudes, you've got those that are bullying and are insulting to people, and they have millions of followers. And I'm like, seriously, guys, you want to follow somebody who's telling you you're stupid every day?
Oh, yeah. I have millions of followers. I have all this information about, you know, nothing. I had a guy who flew in. He actually flew in. He did an interview with me today for a podcast that I'm doing, and he talked about where he grew and what he learned and all the different ways that he became who he was and knew what he was and what he can share. Well, some of these life coaches, and you know, I'm not gonna pick on individuals, but this one guy was like, I took a $4 million company and turned it into a $40 million company. I know a lot of people that could turn a $4 million company into a $400 million company. And with his one single success, which I don't want to knock him for that, now he claims to know the answers to how to help you if you only have $400 in the bank. And that's misdirection. It's misinformation. It's lack of experience. And that's not, you know, that's not a way to go. That's not a person to listen to.
No, you've got to have somebody who's going to be there to not just berate you and tell you, you've got to do it my way or it's never going to work. You've got to have somebody who looks at the whole picture of what you do. As we're talking about social media, what are some things that, let me back up. The average Twitter post is only good for about 20 minutes. How would you recommend somebody use Twitter to specifically to engage with their target market and grow?
I think it all comes to communication and not necessarily seeing it as just 20 minutes. And for that singular post, absolutely, it has that 20-minute shelf life. But say something you do in 3 weeks has that hits that 20-minute mark and brings a whole bunch of people. As people begin to scroll down, are those other tweets engaging and making them want to connect that much more? You know, are you looking at your ways to communicate on, you know, on Twitter? I think it's one of the services you list, you know, about your client communication skills coaching. I'm sure all those same elements tie right to the aspect of communicating on Twitter as if somebody is reading it that day, tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. And another thing about Twitter, if it's gone by, maybe it's time to delete it. Maybe it's time to make sure that when someone's scrolling down, they're getting pieces of information about your knowledge, your ability, and not 90 threads of thanks for sharing, thanks for posting, I agree with you too. When I go to somebody's social media site and I can't understand what they even do as I scroll down, it confuses me and turns me away.
Well, yeah, because when you start following someone, the natural reaction is to look at the rest of the thread, find out what they do and how their information jives with what your belief system is.
Absolutely.
Or how
and
it's
going
to change you. Go ahead.
And when you take that, when you take of how something is going to affect you and how even you want to be affected, that's engaging. And that whole thing of sharing, when people get into a mindset of sharing information, then you're communicating. And it's something that we used to all be good at, and I think with social media, with television, with everything else, to an aspect we've lost it. But the people that are coming back to that, and they're thinking along the lines of what they share and how they share it, that becomes stronger. I don't list my one of my biggest converter YouTube videos is a title that says speaker and author. And if you search on YouTube, speaker and author, just that those three words, it points right at me. I'm not sitting there talking about my brand. I'm not talking about my name. I'm not trying to lead in with me. I'm trying to lead in with what people are looking for so they can find I may be an answer and I may be at that solution. So another standpoint on social media, to get away from, you know, if you want to be well-branded, but sitting there shoving your brand in your posts on the front side of your posts isn't all that effective for most.
I like to tell my clients that one thing they want to do is do for every 5 posts that they put up, let's say they're posting 8 times a day, which is a good average if you want to remain in front of people, is make out of every 5 posts, make 4 of those curated content and 1 a sales about you.
I like,
is that a good average?
I like that. I will personally, I'm going more and I'm trying to play in the area of more engaging content that people are going to want to search for. It's kind of a different approach. I take more of a 1 to 2 posts a day approach and try to create the content that, if it doesn't immediately engage or optimize as a blog, as a video, as an audio, that day, that it's something that serves me later on. I had a video that I did 5 years ago in Las Vegas, and it's still, from people finding it today, it still brings higher level conversions. And it's because it's something that's out there that could be used for, it could have been used for that day, next week, next month, next year. And the excessive, those people that hit Twitter 40 times a day and just post pure crap, that's dangerous. But, I mean, for some, and if they have the team and the ability to do it 8 times a day, that's great. But sometimes for me, I'm searching and testing with no proof yet, but finding that the earlier conversions of allowing a conversation to simmer can be as effective for some, if not more, than trying to be seen to build a conversation.
Mm-hmm. We've talked in the past about, on this show, about the different streams of social media that companies use depending on what their target market is. Obviously, if you're a photographer, you're going to be more on Pinterest and Instagram and YouTube and things like that, along with one of the baselines, Twitter or Facebook. Whereas if you are a business coach, you're going to be using LinkedIn more than Pinterest or Instagram. When you're looking at things like that, how do you recommend your clients look at social media? Is it pretty much the same way, or do you have a more structured strategy?
My first thought is, from the branding standpoint, is once you know your brand, once you know your name, your website, I believe that it's a great idea to just capture and sign up for every single social media site that you can get onto. My podcast, Wait, What Really Okay, is on 117 different social media sites. I'm only active on 5 of them for where they post and some video supplements and pictures and whatnot. But by locking those in and all pointing them back to the main places where I'm most active, it means that nobody else can take that name or take that tagline or take that brand and create it for themselves. It's that same thing in buying up those extra domain names and making them individual landing pages or just pointing them back to your main site. The way that I see, you know, the right element, there's just no right. I mean, I've seen business people, business pros, cats that do the marketing and the branding strategy stuff like I do, and they live on Twitter alone. While I see other people, and my experience, I don't have a high level of conversion on LinkedIn. I've got a lot of followers, and it's funny because I get people, I mean, LinkedIn I used to see a lot more traction on, and then I found that this for that quid pro quo, I'm going to say you have this great experience that you don't even know I have, and now you want me to endorse you. I think that turns into a dangerous thing. So my viewpoint is a lot more in tracking, and where someone says, oh, well, Coca-Cola claims that this site is the answer, and this is what you put up, and this is how much you put up, or Nissan, or Acura. And then somebody that is not a car or not a soda brand, they follow that and they don't find that same result. I think it's more key today for people to experiment and track what they're doing and give it a little bit of time. I played with Periscope for 3 months. I found it not to really be a converter for me, but I went on there every couple of days and did a short Periscope and tested the waters for 90 days myself before I made the decision of saying, this isn't flying for me, but I still have the Periscope in my name and no one else can have it. And if things switch, I might try it again. But I know for me, for what I do, it's not as effective. For one other client I have, they live on that thing and they're seeing all sorts of conversions. So I think it's even more individualized and personalized beyond even just the business.
So it just depends on the personality of the business, not just the business type.
Absolutely. I have a face for radio. Since I started the podcast, I get a lot more listens where I can see in an average video, and not saying that it's that important, I see, you know, 2,000 to 4,000 views on a YouTube video, where I get 20,000 to 30,000 listens on my podcast. And I'm not the prettiest looking guy in the world. Maybe the voice is better, man. But I don't know.
I had a program director at one point tell me I had a face for radio and a voice for silent movies. So I just don't pay attention to it. Because really it's the information that's the most important thing. And so it doesn't really matter to most people who they're looking at or who they're listening to, as long as the information is applicable.
Absolutely. And even at the same time, it's where do they want to get that information from you? If they're seeming to get pieces that draw them in through images, through Pinterest, through Instagram, great. I do push all clients across the board to try to at least, if not once a week over the month, to have one audio, one video, one blog, one key photo, and one link, and hitting across those different digital mediums to engage in the best way possible to be able to test what's working. I didn't really like audios. I set up my entire podcast format. It was originally set up as a brand strategy of a podcast for a client that didn't pay. I ended up saying, okay, well, he didn't pay. I put in all this work. I'm going to create this podcast. And we're 35 episodes later, we've achieved 2.4 million listens, and there's been some great conversions there that I never would have even – and by testing it, though, and saying, okay, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to try these different things. I know the validity of what works, how it works, how I can share it with other people, and then for those that choose to do it, I keep an eye on them to see if, you know, if it's right or wrong, or if it continues for someone else.
One of the things that I like to talk to clients about is consistency. And so many clients are inconsistent about how they use not just social media, but their blogs and whatnot. I talk to them all the time about making sure that their blogs are up to date. A lot of people don't see the connection between content strategy, search engine optimization, and social media, because a lot of them, first of all, think that social media and search engine optimization are the same thing, and that social media and content don't connect. Unfortunately for them, they all connect. What kind of strategy do you put in place when you're advising your clients? I know you said that you know, you've got to be posting once a week and all these different things, but how do you make sure that they're consistent about it?
I explain early on and try to work with a client to showcase a template that is going to tie into their brand, into their tagline, the things that can optimize the most. If you go into Google and search business advisor, speaker, and author, I show up on top, not above the two ads, but on top because of that consistency and uniformity. It really, I say very early on in any package or any consulting session, if they are not going to practice these practices, for lack of a better word, I'm not really somebody to hire. It's the responsibility that whether you have the team or the people to do it or whether you have to do it yourself, if that initial commitment isn't there, it's not worth my time. Everything that you just said, it's so true. They have to have that consistency. And three not all that interesting blogs that are formatted correctly, that are built for SEO, that are put across social media the right way, can do wonderful things for the strategy, for the marketing, for the promotion, for the advertising. And by having consistent content for a while before advertising the site, follow me on Twitter. I only have two posts. Well, why should I follow you? But when someone commits to the idea that this is the reality, this is where it's coming from, this is where it's going to at the moment, then they're going to be in a lot better shape. But I can't coach the people that are looking for that quick fix, that answer to say, I don't really want to shoot a video, I don't really want to write a blog. I'm much more drawn to working with the people that are saying, okay, what do I have to do? What I'm doing isn't working. I love my product. I believe in what I'm doing. What do I need to learn or execute to get this further?
How do you feel about people who want to then, you know, yes, I want to be consistent in my blog, and a lot of people think the blogs are dead like they used to think that Twitter's dead, but now it's not an option. Who then go and hire out the writing of those blog posts? Is that a viable option for your clients?
I think it's an awful way to go. And there's a woman down in Vero Beach who does exactly that, and she hates me. My belief inside of anybody's business, especially as they're growing it, is their product is a representation of them, who they are, what their dream is. When you hire content farms or people to format some of these pieces of content that half the time they're basically being repurposed and recycled for different people in different areas, which in turn Google is penalizing because it's basically the same article. It's just had a couple changes to add the name of this business or the name of that business. It really should be viewed, or the way I view it at least, is illegal plagiarism. And Well, beyond that, even if you don't have
to me, what I tell my clients is that don't get a content firm. Don't hire an agency that just churns blog posts. Hire a writer who's good at what they do to create original content. If for no other reason than consistency's sake, just so that you've got something up there, make sure that it's well crafted, that it addresses your voice, that it's giving you the kind of information that you want your people to have, because not everybody is a good writer. I would rather have a client have something that's well crafted represent them than have something, because not everybody can write well.
Oh no, you're so right. You're so correct. I think as long as someone, exactly as you're saying, as long as someone is hiring a writer that's following a template and working on explaining, extracting, or becoming that much more eloquent about what that person is doing, what that product is, I'm all about it. I'm right there with you. I mean, those content forums where it's just redone, repurposed content, I think that's awful. I mean, I make the joke. I tell people I'm an author, not a writer, because in the three books I put out, I had an editor, I had a proofreader, I had a technical editor, I had people fix me up. I've had people even state, you know, you really could have gone over your blog and made that last blog a little bit better. And honestly, I probably could have, but I followed all the rules of branding. I got my message out. I got what I needed to get out. And for me, I know it sounds kind of short, but it was enough, and it was what I wanted to achieve in getting that post out there. So even if you're not the greatest writer, but you can still format and stay true to your brand and your message, you might be doing better than you realize.
Otherwise, hire somebody that can write in your voice. Lauren, I really appreciate your time today. This has been a great conversation. I'd love to have you back. Where can people find you?
People can find me anywhere with typing in Lauren Weisman, LaurenWeisman. It's LaurenWeisman.com. It's on Facebook. It's Twitter. It's YouTube. I have my podcast, which, Lauren, I'd love to have you on and interview.
Absolutely.
You. I love where your mindset is. I love where your mindset is at. It's refreshing to hear someone that, again, is being motivated but sharing information in a sea of people that just want to say you can do it and not say how. So I'd love to have you as a guest on Wait, What Really Okay? And that's, people can find that on iHeart or just even searching that term.
Perfect. And where are you going to be speaking next?
I am taking a little bit of a break from speaking. I'm hiding in Florida for the winter. I'm in Vero Beach. I'll be coming back into speaking up in the Northeast in the spring when it warms up. But for now, I'm going to stick with the consulting and saying hi to people on camera and enjoying the weather down here.
I think that's a great way to go for the summer, for the winter rather. I'm lost. It's so hot here in Austin. Thank you so much, Lauren. I appreciate it. And we'll have you back. We've been talking with Lauren Weisman. He is a social media expert. He is a consultant and works with small businesses. Absolutely fabulous. LaurenWeisman.com. That's one S. I'm Lori Liker from Small Biz Coaching. You can find me at smallbizcoaching.net. I'm on Twitter at smallbizcoachtx. And I'm all over Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You're more than welcome to search me. I enjoy doing this podcast. If you'd like to be part of the podcast, please email me, Lori@smallbizcoaching.net. And next week, we'll have the Cohens with us. They are 24/7. They work together. They have their own business. It's fabulous. Join us then. Thank you very much. Goodbye.